The first reading is from Deuteronomy 18, starting at verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him, for this is what you ask of the Lord your God at Horeb on that day of the assembly when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see his great fire any more, or we will die." The Lord has said to me, "What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods must be put to death." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 21 to 28, on page 1002 of the Church Bibles. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly, "come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to your living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder if you can remember what you were doing about this time 3 years ago. February 2021, the depths of that lockdown winter. We'd been in lockdown for about 500 years already. It carried on for at least another 200 years. And it was a dark and difficult winter. And into that dark and difficult time burst an unlikely YouTube or internet sensation when a Zoom meeting of Handforth Parish Council went viral. And this meeting began with serious bad temper, continued with accusations of power grabs. There were frequent interruptions. And at the climax, we heard those now immortal words shouted by one of the leading protagonists, "You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver," before the said Jackie Weaver banished him to a waiting room. This was no mere clash of opposing political views. This was a bitter battle for procedural control of that meeting and ultimately for control of that council itself. It posed the question, who has authority here? And what are they going to use it for? Our reading from Mark's Gospel this morning poses the same question. A few verses earlier, Jesus has burst onto the scene in Galilee, proclaiming the kingdom of God has come near. He's gathered together a motley band of disciples, and now, with these early followers, he enters a synagogue and begins to teach. And as Mark records in verse 22, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. And with his usual brevity and sort of crispness, Mark sets up for us the beginnings of a bitter battle for control. Who has authority here? Well, for the people, according to Mark, it's Jesus. And who loses authority as Jesus demonstrates it? Well, it's the teachers of the law. A new authority has risen to challenge the old authority. A boundary has been crossed and confrontation looms. Now, my own authority on Greek pronunciation was questioned, as many of you know, a couple of weeks ago at Connect, so I'm going to say this next bit with some trepidation. But the Greek word used throughout the New Testament for authority is exousia, and it comes from a verb, exesti, and that verb means it is free, it is permitted. And so exousia, used in the New Testament, refers to the sovereign freedom of one who acts without hindrance. The sovereign freedom of one who acts without hindrance. Now, we don't know the content of Jesus' teaching on this particular Sabbath in the synagogue at Capernaum. But we know enough of Jesus' teachings to see that sovereign freedom at work. Jesus is an observant Jew, but he doesn't hesitate to demand that his followers go beyond the requirements of the law of Moses. As in, you have heard that it was said, but I tell you, something more challenging. Nor does he hesitate to challenge the religious leaders' interpretation of that law. Jesus, in his teaching, announces the reign of God on earth and illustrates what that reign will be like with memorable images and stories. Jesus takes passages of the Hebrew scriptures and applies them strikingly and in a new way to himself. And the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority. By acting this way, in sovereign freedom and without hindrance, Jesus crosses a boundary. It won't be long before the teachers of the law will rise up against this new authority. But in our passage today, there's a more striking contest that emerges. Because a heckler with an impure spirit interrupts Jesus' teaching, shouting, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Or as one commentator suggests, "Why are you picking this fight? Why don't you just leave us alone?" For Mark, this battle for authority runs so much deeper than a row between Jesus and the religious leaders of his day. For Mark, Jesus has come to demonstrate his sovereign freedom to act without hindrance over both the natural and the supernatural world. And here, the supernatural world, represented by the impure spirit, recognizing Jesus for who he is and therefore knowing what he has come to do, that impure spirit tries to assert its own authority. But of course, in the end, there's no contest. As God, in the beginning, simply by his word, created order out of chaos, so Jesus, simply by his word, expels the impure spirit. Be quiet. Come out of him. You have no authority here. So no wonder the people are amazed. And no wonder they talk to one another about this new teaching with authority to give orders to impure spirits and obey. No wonder the news spreads quickly throughout the surrounding region. And no wonder the question, what is this, a new teaching and with authority, will swiftly in Mark's gospel turn into the question, who is this? Inquiries about Jesus' authority are inquiries into his very identity. From the opening sentence of his gospel, Mark presents Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he goes on to demonstrate exactly how Jesus is the one with unique authority, uniquely commissioned and uniquely empowered to usher in the reign of God upon earth. This authority is intrusive. It breaks old boundaries and it disrupts the balance of power in both the natural and supernatural spheres. This authority is liberative. It brings healing and flourishing, as we see in this passage, to the man with the impure spirit who is set free. And it's an authority that's prophetic. It articulates God's intention for the world. The kingdom of God has drawn near. For early Christian writers, Jesus' authority, Jesus' sovereign freedom to act without hindrance, demonstrated that he is that prophet spoken of in our reading from Deuteronomy, the one raised up by God with God's words in his mouth to tell the people, as Moses had done, everything that God had commanded him. And yet, this authority is veiled. If you study Mark's gospel for any length of time, you come across a concept known as the messianic secret. Just as Jesus commands the spirit in this passage to be quiet, so he orders repeatedly those who receive healing, deliverance and mercy to keep silence. For this is an authority which, in its sovereign freedom, chooses not to impose itself on the world by public deeds of power that cannot be refuted. This is an authority which, in sovereign freedom, chooses to express itself in a life of service, in a life which gives away its authority, and in ultimately, of course, death on a cross. For, says Mark in chapter 10, verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus will choose to give away his life, and in the act of submitting to the authorities of the world, his sovereign freedom to act without hindrance will be vindicated. Surely, says the centurion at the foot of the cross, this man was the Son of God. For us sitting here this morning, 2,000 years later, the question of Jesus' authority, the question of Jesus' identity remains as central as it was when Mark was writing. Because if Jesus is not who he says he is, if Jesus has no authority here, then ultimately we are all wasting our time. To paraphrase C.S. Lewis, if Jesus' claim to authority is false, then Jesus is of no importance. But if Jesus' claim to authority is true, then it is of paramount importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. And so the invitation and the demand of these early chapters of Mark's gospel is for the reader to decide whether Jesus' claim to authority is true. If not, we can continue as we are. But if so, it changes everything. This is an authority which will disrupt the balance of power in our lives. In his sovereign freedom to act without hindrance, Jesus declares that those things which once had authority over us, whether they be things like consumerism, struggle for power, addictions, things that harm us, must be nailed to the cross. And that even those things that are good for us family, friendships, jobs, security must take their place behind Jesus' ultimate authority. But we remember that this authority is also an authority that liberates. In his sovereign freedom to act without hindrance, Jesus never coerces. He never manipulates. He never seeks to use his power abusively over others. His authority brings healing, wholeness, restoration of relationships, new life, and new purpose. So the question to each of us as individuals today is, are Jesus' claims to authority true? And if so, what does that mean for me? But perhaps there is also a wider question for the church. Now, one of the lovely things about being now nearly 2.5 years post-merger is that we as church have reached a place where we're more settled, more comfortable with who we are, more at ease with one another and as a community. And I can tell you that I give thanks for that every single day. But as I reflect on Jesus' authority, it reminds me that there's a danger in us becoming too comfortable. Because if we truly believe that Jesus is Lord with sovereign freedom to act without hindrance, what might that mean for us as the church who bear his name? In Matthew's Gospel, among Jesus' last words to his disciples, the risen Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." If we truly believe that all authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus, how then should we live as church? What difference would it make to our prayers for each other and for the world, to our interactions with one another, to our decisions at PCC, to our loving service in our community, to the way we live out our church's vision to be a people of worship, welcome, and witness? If Jesus' authority breaks old boundaries and disrupts the balance of power, how are we following his example? If Jesus uses his authority to heal and to liberate, how are we following his example? If Jesus' authority articulates God's intentions for the world, how are we using our voice to speak prophetically into the community and world around us? And so I invite us now, individually and as God's church gathered in this place, to spend some time reflecting on how we respond to this question of Jesus' authority, of Jesus' identity. Maybe today you have for the first time recognized that Jesus is one who has authority. Maybe you're aware of something which has taken over Jesus' rightful place of authority in your life, something which you need to turn away from in order to turn towards the life of wholeness and flourishing which Jesus offers. Maybe you sense that Jesus, in his sovereign freedom, is inviting you into something new, something that's breaking down old boundaries in your life and setting you free to serve him in a new way. Or maybe it's something completely different. But whatever Jesus may be saying to you, I invite you, as we play this next song, to spend time with him in quiet, listening, praying, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak. And if you would like someone else to listen with you and pray with you, our prayer ministry team will be in the chapel during this song and also at the end of the service. And please do feel not just free to, but encouraged to go and seek and receive prayer from them before you leave today. So as I close, I'm going to pray, and then we will spend some time in quiet responding to Jesus' teaching to us. Lord Jesus, all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to you. And as your people, we proclaim you as Lord and Saviour. We ask that you would show us more and more, day by day, what it means to live under your authority and how we can honour you in our lives. Amen.